Bill Simmons hosts the most downloaded sports podcast of all time, with a rotating crew of celebrities, athletes, media staples, and a slew of other friends and family members who always happen to be available. Check out the Bill Simmons podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And I saw like three Spider-Men, I suppose is the plural. I was going to say Spider-Mans.
Spider-Mans. You can say
you
it on here.
That
I saw
works.
Three Spider-Mans. You can say Spider-Mans on here. Hi everyone, welcome to Righty's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about Tammy Abraham's Roma debut. It was brilliant, I was delighted for him. We're going to talk to the Spider-Man trailer because I'm so excited. A little look ahead to Liverpool-Chelsea. I'm going to give out a couple of bunches of flowers. And my guests are the one and only Mr. Ryan Arnon making his debut on Righty's House. Mr. Mayoa Kwadwo, how are you, brother?
I'm good.
Welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, man. It feels like, you know, that family party when you're a young buck and you see that all of that, you know, people slightly older, you know, having a few bevs.
Yes.
And it's like, you want to have the conversation with them, but it's like, no, you're too young.
You're too young. You can't come in yet.
Now, you know, I'm 18, you know, pass me over a drink, get a Guinness. I'm fully involved now. So yeah, it's good to be here.
Start with a lager and lime, bro. Just start with a lager and lime. So, Mayo, quickly, before we get going, just let people know the levels they're dealing with when they've got Mayo Kwadwo in and around us. The levels, bro.
Oh, man. So, Brandon editorial for Versus, you know, check mm-hmm. out amazing footballing platform, podcast, Stoppage Time TV. And yeah, I'm probably most of the time on the TL trying not to cause too much trouble with my tweets, mm-hmm. but, you know, just stirring the pot enough, you know. Provide the vibes, sir. Master ceremonies.
Love. Nice. You know, I was going to say before we go into it, because I know that we're going to speak Chelsea because we have to. Can we just rewind to Tammy Abraham's debut for Roma against Fiorentina, please? Because again, it's a game I wanted to watch just to see how he'd get on, just to see how he'd fit into that as somebody as well, guys. Who he didn't even train with the team. Did you see the game?
Oh yeah.
Good game.
Can I say what I noticed instantly about Tammy and what he's going to do at that team? Obviously, he gave them legs in the way he was stretching Fiorentina. But it seems to me, for somebody who's not trained with the team yet and knows the team, the way he was ordering people about and the way he's talking to people, and Mourinho's had the talk with him. He's had the talk. He's had that talk, right? I'm telling you, where he said, you are playing. You are the focal point, and I'm wanting you to lead this team. Tammy played with his chest the other day. He looked like a totally different animal to anything I've seen him do at Chelsea since his youth team days, Mayo.
Yeah, do you know what it is for me? You know more than anyone, right, that when you play as a centre forward, right, you just need a bit of love, a place to call home, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go to a team that's that big with a manager, you know, who is that manager, a manager, you know, who when it comes to centre forwards, the track mm-hmm. record is insane.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I just think back to, you know, the whole Harry Kane, I'm going to make him explode. And my word, did he explode? Like, it was just crazy what we saw. And when you go into that environment, And he's what? He's only 23. He's turned 24 at the end of the year. And you're going to be the man now. You can just see the difference already. He knows that his time there, he's going to enjoy it. He's going to play football. It's going to be his team. And I feel that what probably happened was with those years at Chelsea where, you know, he was top goal scorer across all comps for two seasons, he probably still didn't feel like it was his team. But now he gets that really, really big opportunity. And my word, I know I'm probably calling it early, but they've not won a trophy for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if Jose Mourinho with Tammy frontlining does something really special in that league, whether it's a cup or maybe even challenge for the league, because boy, I mean, it's the first game, but I mean, he's getting keepers sent off. He's getting assists. It's crazy.
Right. It's what's it called? I think it's that Mourinho, because I was listening to Stadio, and when he was talking about Mourinho hasn't got, you know, the guy who's coming to school. Yeah, man. Where's the bully, man? I'm coming to fight him. Where is he? Bully's gone, bro. He's got no one to, he's just there doing it. He's like, who's he up against? Who's Mourinho up against? Mourinho can literally start writing what he wants on that blank palette he's got there, bro. He could do whatever he wants.
In terms of like players who he has to remold manager, and stuff for.
Yeah, and managers who he's going to argue with. We know he's going to
Him and Sarri are going to kick off big time.
Is it seriously?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think him and Spalletti might have a couple of rumblings. And to be honest, I reckon like Simone Inzaghi might have a pop when they play, because obviously Jose used to manage Inter. So I don't think Max Allegri really cares. I'm really intrigued to see how this Roma team plays out, because they have got some like unbelievable pieces.
Yeah.
And the thing that you saw with Tammy, for example, was just how Jose Mourinho loves players who have kind of got a grudge or feel like they have something to prove, right?
Yeah.
And you can already imagine how much Jose's been in his ear this week. Just like...
I could feel it.
Just like... It's almost like he's radicalizing him.
Yeah. Just the way... Literally, Ryan. Simply the way he played. And when you join... When you first go to a team... when I went to Arsenal from Palace, is that you don't point around and... You're doing all the stuff. Because he was even doing Italian hands.
You know what I love the most, right? You know when the first goal's gone in and he's run straight over to the linesman?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're giving that goal.
Yes.
You're giving it. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah, he knew that Mkhitaryan wasn't offside.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of him when he was younger, because I used to go to a lot of Chelsea games with my man Mitchell Thomas, who, you know, he had Jada Silva there. I used to go and watch them a lot, and watch Tammy, watch all those guys when they were younger. And when Tammy played in those teams, I saw him play like he played for Roma. I've not seen Tammy.
Coming out from where, do you mean? And yes. Sort of occupying and spaces. Just
literally, he was literally doing everything across the front. It's like you can do anything. And when I watched him at Chelsea, I think the closest he got was the hat trick against Wolves under Lampard.
Yes.
Where... You know, he's bursting on now, and like, yes, Tammy's arrived. Because I think even the start of that season when he played up at Man United, and he played very well. I think he hit the post, really ran them around, and I'm thinking, yes, Tammy's starting to show that I'm going to dominate all of this up here. I'm going to do all of this. Like what we saw Lukaku do the other day, just literally run the game from the front. As soon as anything that was going on up the front, anywhere he went, it kind of went towards him. And you could feel that's the kind of vibe that Mourinho's given him. That is what you're going to do here. Because I get the impression that Tammy, from a young age, he's been the leader. He's been the main goal scorer. He's the one they all spoke about. He's got that energy from a young age. And now, this is the first time I've seen him look that confident and look that, here I am. You're going to take, this is what I'm about. Saying to the linesman, saying to other people, pass the ball through. Owning the game.
It's funny a different you mention animal. It because I remember speaking to him a while ago for How to Be a Baller series I do. And what was so interesting was when he was detailing sort of his journey through the academy, he was like, people knew he was good and he believed he was good, but he was never the guy that played age groups above. Him and Fakayo, ironically, who are both in Italy now, were the last two to get their actual scholars. And now they're both in Italy and they're both going to, when we saw what happened with Fekir, right? He went there and he just was just different class. He just, instantly, that confidence, because they know that, you know what, I can make this team my own. And he's only going to get better and better. And he's still developing. Like he's, like you said, right? Like when he was younger, he was this, you know, trickster coming off the wing, you know, very dynamic. His aerial ability is something that can only improve as well, because someone with so much physicality and height, you don't see a lot of it. But I just feel like Jose Mourinho is just going to literally extract so much out of him, and he's going to say, listen, I want to make sure that I beat everyone and you're going to help me do it. And boy, what a club to do it at as well. Like Roma is such a historic club. There's so much passion in that city. And just look at the way the fans took to him at the airport when he arrived. The standing ovation. He's going to be a fan favourite there, and I just can't wait to see it. And I mean, especially seeing that bromance as well. I mean, the Mountain Rice bromance is something, but the Kai and Tammy bromance, oh my word, that is something. So just to see that flourish will be nice as well.
If you think about it though, like he's walked in there with a Champions League medal.
Yes.
I wonder whether there's something to be had where you've come through at a club from a kid and all you really want to be is like their number nine, right? Yep. And the weight that is on your shoulders, there is a lot of pressure there. It's a very, very heavy shirt to wear, I think, especially when you've come through a system and you've been given a chance by a club legend. And well, I would ever know what it's like, but I imagine it can be quite suffocating.
Yeah.
And when you get out of that environment and you go to somewhere like Roma and you're welcomed in that way.
Liberation.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of saw it with Messi going to PSG. He probably didn't want to leave Barca, but that place is so intense, especially when you've been there since a kid. Like Messi's never had, he probably never thought he would ever have like an unveiling or like a transfer.
Yeah,
unless he just went back to Newell's at the end of his career. So I think it's hard to underestimate the impact that can have on a player when, especially when you grapple with the like, I'm leaving my boyhood club here.
Do you know what I give him a lot of credit for as well? I mean, right now as well, I think it was the first Premier League fixture. I think it was maybe one game that didn't have a Chelsea Academy graduate in it. It was something ridiculous like that. But what I have to credit, especially Tammy, for is in that period where Chelsea had to use their youth players, what he did has essentially validated what the Academy stands for. Because with Mason Mount, it's that sort of position, right, that if there's no output, you can still say, you know, it's good performance. With the striker now, when you're bringing in a young striker, you're going to be judged by goals. You can have good performances, but if you don't score goals or put numbers up, it's going to be like, well, you know, he's not doing what he needs to do. Yeah. And he came in and he did it. He got 15 goals, no penalties. And people can say about the opposition, I don't care. He got those goals done.
Yeah.
And when you look at that now, that the baseline of that Chelsea team is all youth players. Imagine if that time under Lampard went wrong and all those youth players, including Tammy, didn't achieve what they needed to in that period.
Yeah.
It would look totally different. And he has to get so much credit for, you know what, putting numbers on the board, leading that line and breaking that curse as well. Because my oh my, I mean, he's a very brave boy to take that number with everything that was said. He said, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
The way Lukaku has come into Chelsea with the confidence in the chest and a team that is definitely going to play to his strengths. The only other person I could say that I've seen at Chelsea, and we're not talking Drogba and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, we're talking about team players that come in, being brought in to be their number nine. Diego Costa is the only other striker apart from the way Romelu Lukaku's come in, and I'm thinking he's going to do it. And the way Lukaku's come in, I think Tammy had every right to try and take that number nine shirt with what he'd done up to that point, Mayo. Like, you're right. But the thing is, I just feel that when you're Tammy, when you come through the youth team, the target on your back is massive in respect of having to do Michael Owen-esque business. We're talking about having to do Wayne Rooney-esque business to stay in that team for the team and the club to just go all in on you like that. Because you're always Chelsea, and the same with a Liverpool, and the same with a Man United. They can always get that next guy. You know something? Yes, he's young, and he's young, so we could wait. It's not a problem. We can wait, and he could come in at another stage. But for Tammy to come in, it was always going to be difficult, no matter what he'd done. And this is why I'm saying for Tammy to be there, as long as he was there, and still, like you mentioned rightly, Mayo, that no penalties his first season. He got his opportunity, he done brilliantly, but you could always feel you know, at some stage, you know, it's someone's going to come in. You know, we know Timo Werner came in, but you can always feel that Tammy played in a way, and you could see in some of the times where he played, very nervous, ball bouncing off of him. You know what I mean? You could see the anxiety in him because he's a very expressive player. That's why I think he's going to be brilliant in Italy as well. That's why I'm saying he's doing Italian hands already. You know what I mean? But what happened at Chelsea is you can hear the groans when it didn't quite go well at any stage of the game for him. And I cannot tell you how refreshing it is to know that you're not going to get those groans, and you know that the fans love you for what you do. He doesn't have to do anything different now. He's put down his marker how he plays, and now that's what the Roma fans will expect. That's what Mourinho will expect. I'm just pleased that he's got that manager in that passionate place at that club at a time where you... Who's going to win it there this season? Who's going to win it? You know what I mean? You look at what Mourinho is capable of doing, the outlay on Tammy, that's going to be worth it. And what they've seen in that first game is somebody that, yeah.
If there was ever a time, we all know that, I mean, people can have whatever opinion they have on Jose Mourinho. They can say, you know what, there's the honeymoon period and then it goes left. But he loves being the underdog. Mm. And to a certain extent with this team, with, you know, with that city, with everything around it, you know, with the young striker, he has his perfect sort of environment to kind of be like, people don't expect anything from us. We're going to prove them wrong. And all it takes, I mean, the reason why I love that league is all it takes is, you know, a good run of games. And then you're suddenly in a position where people don't want to play you. Like Jose Mourinho, you know, sets up the really strong teams, you know, gets the goal and then, you know, you're set. Tammy Abraham's going to score a lot of goals in that league. And if he gets his early goals, you know, and they set up shots, they might be a very difficult outfit to get past.
I'm feeling
you
that.
You know, remember the All or Nothing doc when yes. he said a word so bad that they had to replace it with bastards?
Right? Yes.
Like, Tammy strikes me as the kind of guy who will not have any problem playing like an absolute bastard if he wants to.
It's a beautiful fit, him. And I think that if Mourinho can give him that shield of armor of you're playing. So you're going to go to certain places. It's going to be rough for you, but you're fucking playing. Because that is all what Tammy's waiting for now, because you can see what Romelu Lukaku's done. It's kind of going to be the blueprint for certain people. You know what? Okay, I'll go to Italy and I'll learn a bit more. I'll do a bit more and I'll come back. Look at Romelu Lukaku. He scored his first goal in his second debut the other day. You know what I mean? He went on loan. It's almost like his destiny to be there. You almost feel like it's the same for Tammy. I think the difference is that Tammy's actually put numbers on the board before he's kind of had to move out, whereas Romelu didn't get that opportunity, but now he's come back at a time for me in Chelsea's history where they're ready to go.
I'm not going to lie, they are scary.
It's honestly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Someone sent me the Spider-Man trailer, No Way Home, and I'm 57, bro. A 57-year-old man surely should not be getting this excited about a fucking film, bro.
You're talking about, you're the target audience.
Literally.
I swear to God. It's not spoilers, because it can't be spoilers if it's in the trailer, right?
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
It's literally page one, superhero, never reveal your identity, right? And obviously, Mysterio. Was it Mysterio?
It was Mysterio.
Yeah.
How can he do that to Peter Parker, man?
Very disappointing, Jake.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
You know what? I'm so excited about this one because did you watch the Multiverse, the cartoon one? I watched that with my girls.
No, I haven't seen the Spider-Man cartoon one.
Oh my gosh, you've got to watch the Spider-Man Multiverse.
There's a lot of Marvel stuff on there, all right?
There's about four or five different universes. And even in this one, this new Spider-Man, because he goes to Doctor Strange and we see him go to Doctor Strange and Doctor Strange kind of does the spell to try and get everybody to fit. And then it kind of messes up the whole universe. It's amazing. I can't wait to see how it comes I can't wait to see how it works itself out. It's like when I was younger watching Back to the Future. Oh no, what's he going to do now? He's gone. If he touches himself, it's going to go weird and then the world's going to explode. I cannot wait to see how this Spider-Man works itself out.
Oh, man. I like the dabbling with the multiverse though, because it's all honestly, like after Loki, isn't it? It's all opening it up for Kang.
Yes.
And I saw three Spider-Men, I suppose is the plural. I was going to say Spider-Mans.
Spider-Mans. You can say
you
on
can
here.
With that.
I
that
saw
works.
Three Spider-Mans. You can say Spider-Mans on here.
And it was like, whoa, there's one who's absolutely jacked. Like, mm-hmm. It's all opening the door for Kang, isn't it? But I tell you what, oh. As an Arsenal fan at the moment, I would love a multiverse.
Oh god!
I'd love to know,
Ryan, that we're actually. Oh, I knew it. We're not in the right world. This is the wrong world.
Do you know what? Like, you know, at the end of Loki, where Kang was just like, "You think I'm evil?"
Yeah.
Like Edu or Vinai are there being like, "You think we're bad?" Wait, do you meet our variants?
You should see our variants in the multiverse. Somewhere in the universe, Arsenal are doing everything what we're dreaming of them to do,
yep.
And this is. This is the variant.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Strange playing left wing. And he's like, he's given the team talk before and he's like, I've given 15 million outcomes before the Champions League final and only one of them do we win. And Aubameyang cuts inside. He's one-on-one with the keeper and someone's free on the left-hand side. He turns around and Steve Strange just goes, one.
It's excellent. I love that.
Do you know what made me laugh the most about that trailer, right? It was seeing Doctor Strange in these tracksuit bottoms, and it gave me this whole thing of, you know, when managers, you know, typically kind of go for, you know, the usual sort of, you know, suit look, and then they go one next picture. It's like, you know what, I'm just going to take a relaxed approach. It's a home game. It's like, reminded me of like Steve Bruce with like the new store sort of like tracksuit. And it's like, this is not right. No. Can you like...
No, but mate, did you see Ralph Hasenhüttl this? That was somebody who says... That's it, bro.
He's been teasing it out pretty soon.
This is me. You know, the waistcoat on, waistcoat off.
Ronnie O'Sullivan drip, I liked it.
Honestly, man, it was like, I'm thinking to myself, yes, Ralph. Look at the amount of, like, column inches I saw just on Scott Parker, bro. Scott Parker and Fulham, and when they weren't playing bad, people talking about, Ryan was on about his tie. Ryan was talking about his, I thought he looked pretty smart, but then.
Just the tie clip. Few centimeters.
It was
too
a tie high. Clip. That was it. The tie clip's too high.
I did like the Gilet and blazer though. The Gilet and blazer was very continental, sort of, you know.
Nice.
I struggle with the ethics of Gilet.
Yeah, but the thing is, the point I was making was, what I was making was, is that it can totally take away from what you're doing because people are starting to worry about what you're wearing and look, oh, if he weren't wearing that, we'd be there. But can I just say, when I saw Roberto Mancini could literally wear anything.
Yeah, that was the
and
that's
it doesn't
the new
matter.
Standard.
And it doesn't matter. You know, people are not saying, well, if he, look how he's dressed. They've alerted these teams. But Roberto Mancini in the Euros, even when he took his jacket off and he just had his shirt, trousers and his shoes on, he looked amazing.
Yep. I wrote a piece for The Ringer after, when Nagelsmann dropped the suit in the Champions League.
Oh God, what a suit.
And he had previous as well. And it was actually like the psychology involved in the managerial gap. And this was like, when was that semi-final? Last June? July? 2020?
Yeah, it was a late one. Yeah,
2020. The problem is now that whenever anything drip related comes up on the managerial side, I just get tagged in it all the time.
New role for you, managerial drip consultant.
Well, the thing is, it was like, there is a psychology there, I think. I think it can.
There's something.
Graham Potter, for example, even Graham Potter mentioned
like
it around Christmas time.
Yeah, but I like even his beard. Even now, you know, even he did mention it, maybe the way I'm dressed. But because there was a definite change in Graham Potter, wasn't
he? Ditched the tracksuit. Yeah. And literally, I was keeping tabs on Brighton's form post tracksuit, and it was off. It was like otherworldly.
But even now, looking at him, see, doing the interview, even with his beard, I know this is ridiculous. Right, you could maybe chop whatever you want out.
What are you talking about? This is gold.
This is prime content. Yeah.
Graham Potter's beard is beautiful. It's not as beautiful and as shiny and as glistening. As Thierry Henry's was. And there's no beard that is as beautiful as Thierry's beard. It was glistening. It was like when the light touched it, it glistened.
Right, it was glistening. It was glistening.
Glistening.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle,
a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
A player that I can only dream of is getting flowers this week because he's somebody that, again, he's teased towards us. He's somebody that, you know, Pepe knows very well. He's somebody that apparently supports Arsenal. I've seen him in an Arsenal
shirt. Don't do it to yourself. What are you doing? Apparently again, supports Arsenal. He had Arsenal bed covers.
It's Arsenal bed covers. Yves Bissouma at Brighton, for me, is sensational, Ryan. He's sensational. Again, you watch him this week and his numbers. You know, what he had 8 ball recoveries, you know, 2 take-ons, you know, 5 out of 6 tackles, what was it? 5 interceptions and assists for the goal. You watch his highlights, right? He is an exceptional 6, an exceptional 8, and he's an exceptional 10. He does all of those roles in a game. And I'm watching him, and I remember watching him at Lille because I remember he was number 21. And I remember just watching a couple of games and he does something in all those games. He is absolutely brilliant. I feel that he's tailor-made for Liverpool. What they wanted for Naby Keita is exactly what Bissouma can do for Liverpool. If they get him, it goes again for me with Liverpool. If they can go and get him, it goes again for Liverpool.
Don't give him the idea.
Mayo, I'm not joking. When you watch him and you look at Liverpool's midfield, you look at most midfields.
It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. And the fact is, there's not a lot of players doing what he does. What I saw him do at Lille, what I see him do at Brighton, what he's doing on a weekly basis now, because his problem was obviously earlier on was consistency.
Yeah.
Now, against all of them, if he plays against City, Chelsea, United, any of the teams, top teams, he stands out. That says to me he's ready to go again. Yeah.
What I love about him is, you know, in a world where, you know, you have deep playing playmaker, attacking mid, wing midfielder, you know, auxiliary centre mid, you know, attacking fullback centre mid. He's just a proper central midfielder.
He does everything.
Proper centre mid. He just
the youngest member of the crew going old school. Back when midfielders were midfielders.
I just love it. It's none of these sort of, you know, positions in italics. He just does it so well. He does
all of them.
A few seasons ago, was it who was he playing next to Brighton? Is it Asante? Or that was kind of, he did the more sort of defensive role. Mm-hmm. And then Bissouma was kind of free to do more, you know, go a bit more progressive. Yeah. But what I love about him is that he can beat the press, he's progressive, he gets stuck in, and he makes football look so cool as well.
Yeah,
like, he does the simple stuff, but it just looks so enjoyable. And I've tried to scratch my head and think to myself, why has no one bought him yet? He's 24, he's primed, his contract runs out in 2023. And I thought to myself, maybe the only reason people are not going in now is because AFCON comes in, you know, at the turn of the year. And they're probably thinking, if I buy him and then he has to leave for a month, it's annoying.
Is Marley involved?
So it wouldn't surprise me if someone goes with a bid in January once he's back and it's like, okay, you know what? You're back, you're safe and sound. You're not going to be disturbed. We need this push. You're not cocktied for, you know, for any sort of European competitions.
Yeah.
Let's go. But
he's got to get flowers.
Such a good player.
Fact that like his contract is up in 2023 as well, I think that's what people are keeping an eye on. Because at the moment with the market, he'd just cost way too much money.
Yeah, but for him to stay at Brighton from now so we're talking 18 months, so he's going to have to go through that season of wanting him to sign. He's not going to sign. He's going to go for free. You hope that doesn't affect him and the way he plays. You would like to think it wouldn't, simply because he plays such a combative style of football that he's one of those that I see like how Suarez plays and people like that. They play how they play every week, regardless of what's going on. They play exactly. And I think he's that same kind of player. He's somebody, if he could run his contract down, like Arsene Wenger said all those years ago, that's what we'll see players do more and more. If he runs his contract down, everybody's coming. Everybody. I'm talking everybody. It's not like, you know, he wouldn't suit them, because when you watch the way Bissouma plays, he could fit into any midfield, especially in this country, in Italy, in Spain, anywhere, in France, in PSG, he could fit into any midfield. So him for free is ridiculous for somebody.
What makes it even greater for me is with the brand of football that's played at Brighton, you look at him and you go, oh, so he can do that then. That's fantastic. Mm. Like, it's, the proof of concept is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know it works. So you just take him and you can put him anywhere else and you go, you know that he's going to, you know, the quality is even going to be better wherever you put him.
And so he's got that kind of responsible player where if he was playing in a Liverpool or a Man United, he would say, yeah, all right, I'll do the six. I'll play six. But if there's an opportunity, like we see Fred getting forward and scoring the other day on McTominay, I'll get forward and do that. But if you want me to be the six and break it up and give it to Paul, but yeah, I'll do that. I'll give it to Bruno. Yeah, I'll do that. No problem.
I mean, Man United is a perfect fit for him in the Premier League.
I think so.
And it's a position they're crying out for. I mean, personally,
the thing about it is, they should have went all out.
Yeah, but he could go to someone like Barcelona and fit in.
Easy.
Busquets was so good in the Euros. That was down to a lot of the time, I think, the balance between him, Pedri and Koke. But I think, like, Busquets isn't getting any younger. And, like, a midfield of, like, Yves Bissouma, Frenkie de Jong and Pedri is, like, that's like a Barca midfield for 6-7 years. And it's not like, and he can, and the thing is, he can play like, because Frankie de Jong is quite defensively sound as well. Like, he's had stints at centre back. Like, that's a pretty balanced midfield, I think.
Massively balanced. Beautiful, beautiful balance.
Speaking of Spain, though, can I throw out another bunch of flowers to someone?
Go on then, yeah.
Eric Lamela.
How's he doing?
He is the face of the franchise, right? He's the face of that franchise.
Three goals in his first two La Liga games for Sevilla, and it took 48 games for him to score 3 league goals for Spurs.
Jeez.
Sevilla are a very, very sneaky shout for the title this year, I think. I think there's genuinely, I said it on Stadio, I think there's a four team. We've got the potential for a genuine four team title race in La Liga this year.
Wow.
They're top. They won, they beat Getafe on Monday night, and they're top ahead of Atleti on goal difference. So yeah, I just wanted to shout. I like that signing.
I like the signing, but like, you know, being the ex-Tottenham, and there's always...
Well, that's what I thought give it, not you.
Yeah, you give it. If you give him some that's a bit old. They're old flowers and they're just on their way out. Just see a little bit of ruffleness on the edges of the flowers.
And he's not there anymore, isn't it? So it's fine. You're allowed to...
It's true. It's true. Give him some. Yeah, but I still give him a couple of days old flowers. I'm not giving him great flowers.
Nothing fresh.
I can't have Arsenal doing what they're doing and giving flowers to ex-Tottenham players who are going somewhere.
I'll do the flowers.
You give him the flowers.
I'll say they're from Moussa. All right, so what are we all looking forward to this week?
Easy, especially coming off of our Lukaku feasted on Mari.
Is it Dortmund Hoffenheim on Friday?
No, not as much as obviously Liverpool Chelsea, guys. Liverpool Chelsea is come at a stage of the season where you can almost say it's never too early, because those two camps will know how important it is with confidence or the points. Obviously, the points are vitally important, but to get one over on the other team, it doesn't matter when these teams play. That's why people say, yeah, it's a bit early. It's not too early. This is a brilliant matchup. It's a brilliant matchup because when you look at the way Liverpool have started and Jurgen Klopp saying, listen, we're just easing in. You know, Norwich, I'm not looking to play unbelievable football. We're just putting down markers. We just want to continue to progress. And then they've got Chelsea who have come out of the blocks. They come out of the box flying and they are looking to say, we're in it this season. We're in it to win it. So I love this game. I really do feel like this is going to be an awesome game.
So I thought you were going to put your head for that, Robbie.
What do you mean?
I love this game.
No.
Don't get the raw chicken out, right?
No. Oh, my God.
I was like, is everything I've learned about handling raw poultry a lie? Or like, what is this?
Well, go on, mate. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I really love the subplots of this game. I mean, you've got sort of the two German managers that are going head to head. And Tuchel comes across as this sort of man that has like the list of all of his enemies above his bedroom, just trying to strike them off one by one. And I know it probably really annoyed him that Liverpool did finish above us last season, even though it was down to Chelsea's undoing. I know it really pissed him off. So for this game, it's a big one. Of course, VVD Lukaku is the big one. But for me, it's just the story behind it. I mean, this is, you know, Lukaku coming into the league trying to prove that he's one of the best centre forwards in the world. He's going to try and make sure that anything that Kane does, he does better. It's VVD coming back from injury, trying to make sure that, okay, you guys forgot about me because Ruben Diaz did a great season. I'm here to show you that I'm the best centre-back in the world. So for both of them, this sort of matchup, this sort of, you know, heavyweight champion of the world contender fight is really, really big, because whoever gets the win here, it just makes that perception of the player look a bit different. If VVD gets the, you know, the better hand, it's like, okay, oh, he still is at the best of his game.
Yeah.
If Lukaku wins, it's like, oh, he's just, you know, made, he's, you know, done really good against Arsenal, done the Drogba mold. And then he's, you know, he's finished one of the best defenders in the world. So it's really important. And even like if you look at the right backs, Trent, Reece James, that sort of, you know, bidding to be the England right back is, it's still continuing, right? So there's just so many subplots. And it's a game. I remember the goal score. I remember being so pissed off about that. I remember Babel scoring from about 40 yards. Like, it's such a high caliber game typically. So hopefully it continues to be that.
Yeah, I think the Lukaku, Virgil van Dijk, that matchup, I think for both of them will be now. It's like when I remember when Patrick Vieira was getting ready to, when we were getting played to, ready to play Man United, you could see that Patrick Vieira's all his energy from the time that game finishes. We go training on the Monday, we know that we got United on the Saturday. Everything about him in training's changed. He's sharper, he's quicker, he's more in people's faces because he knows what's coming. I think that what's happening with this game, what's going to happen with Lukaku and Virgil van Dijk is that, like Virgil said himself, I've got massive tests to come. You know what I mean? The twisting, the turning, what I've got to do. And for him to have Lukaku at this stage of the season, this early in the season, when he hasn't really been tested yet, for him, if he goes through that and he does really well, then I think we get Virgil van Dijk back, the one what we missed for the whole season, because he will know in himself, yes, I'm ready. My knee's ready. I'm ready to go. It's just how many games and how they manage me now. And if Lukaku can put in a performance, even if he does half as much against Virgil van Dijk in what we saw him do to Pablo Mari, if he does half as much, scores a goal, links the play, then he himself will be thinking, yes, I'm back. There's so much on it for both of them at this stage of the season that it cannot... Even if it finishes 0-0, there's something to watch in this game. There's something to get from this game, from them two.
I think it could be a real classic, to be honest.
Mm.
Two ex-Dortmund boys in the dugouts. Well, actually, both ex-Mainz as well. You know, very similar careers, trajectories. I wonder, I mean, it's a big game to drop him in on as a debut, but I do wonder whether Ibrahima Konate might come in.
Wow.
Because I wonder whether he's probably a little bit more equipped to deal or help Van Dijk deal with the Lukaku problem. But then just saying that out loud makes me feel a little bit, I think it might be too soon still. I mean, Matip started both games of the season already. So why break up?
Yeah. And the thing is, it wouldn't be a massive problem for Liverpool if he does stuff to Matip. But for the new signing to get that, On his debut,
baptism of fire.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for me.
No.
Yeah, but like, can I just say with Konate though, Ryan? So can I say, I remember watching him and Upamecano when at Leipzig, and it might have been, was it at Man United? I don't know where I saw them play. He was like head and shoulders above him.
He was the original one, man.
Oh God, he's
so good. It was the injuries, right?
Yeah, it was the injuries.
It reminds me a little bit of the Fofana Saliba when those conversations were happening. The comparison of the two centre halves, it reminds me of that situation where one was getting a lot of praise, but it was like the partner's equally as good. And it's so funny how these teams that are like challenger brands, as I call them, really have really good centre back partnerships that are quite young. They do really well to do that. Of course, they don't have to sell them on, but it's funny. But in terms of this game, I think with Matip, the interesting thing with, I call Van Dijk the jockey master, because I mean, everyone has their own way of defending, but what I see from him a lot is he will tend to, you know, jockey back and try and make the centre forward make a decision and therefore then intercept. Unless the ball's coming in with pace, then he'll come quickly and come from behind. And I guess with Lukaku, it's a smart ploy because as you coined, use of the Bundanomics. He's going to back in and, try and hold up play. So if you jockey off, you can see what's happening in front of you. What I worry with, though, is the movement of everyone else. Is this a game where Timo Werner comes in? So you might be trying to occupy in, Lukaku, but that pacing behind, is when that going to be able to turn around?
Leaving that space what Reece James is going. If he's going to play like he did the other day, Timo Werner blasting into those holes.
Werner's so unselfish. And I think this is what makes the Lukaku sign is so interesting for me, is that like it still leaves a space for Werner in that side. And we said it on Stadio that how like, Pulisic being out with COVID and Musa was saying about like Lukaku's signing might make a few players in that Chelsea squad kind of be like, Tuchel has already demonstrated at Chelsea that he likes to use a lot of the squad for different games. Like Trevor Chalobah getting dropped for the game against Arsenal was just like totally undeserved, but he just felt like, I think maybe Aspilicueta's experience in there might have been good against quite a young Arsenal front line. And also, I think he just knew that he could, like Chelsea could keep Arsenal at arm's length,
But do you think Chalobah? I think it wouldn't surprise me, guys, if Chalobah plays against Liverpool.
Well, yeah, because I think just him having the legs over Aspilicueta against that front three at Liverpool makes loads of sense, because they will torch you, especially with Diego Jota in there as well. I think this could be a real, like, I really hope both teams go for it, because
the matchup's beautiful.
Especially with a full Anfield.
Oh, God, yeah.
First full, big game there. It's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, man. What do you think? We don't do predictions, do we?
I predict that it will be a good game.
I needed Musa, man, with a massively...
Three straight Champions Leagues. Three straight Champions Leagues. That's what the signing of the Lukaku is. It's three straight Champions Leagues.
He's just a massive hot take. It's
he's a walking hot take. It's like, do you know what I feel like doing Stadio? Do you watch Chernobyl, the series? Like the guy there just keeps cutting to me, and I'm just like trying to keep the reactor like.
You know something? I just wish, honestly, I'm going to put it in. I'm going to say Musa, who wins this game? I'm going to put it in there. What do you think, May?
I think we take it. I think Chelsea take it. I think what I'm worried about is with Liverpool, this will be a challenge of our win-back system, because they are relentless. Oh, my word. They're like mosquitoes. They just keep going. You try and slap them back and they just keep coming forward. And they're going to try and pin the wing-backs back, which is why I think the Chalobah point is so important, because ultimately you're going to need support on that side if you're getting pinned back. But I think it's going to be really important about how we break away. I think what I want to see, Jorginho sort of heel turn, is that WWE-esque right now. Like, he's just turned into this guy, like, I want people to hate me and I'm just going to continue to show that I'm one of the best in the world. But one thing that I think this game could have, especially for him, is his range of passing. And he's great metronome. He keeps it ticking. And you've got Havertz, who kind of like, is a ghost and finds spaces. Yeah. But when Jorginho finds his range and kind of puts those balls into the channels, or kind of, does those threaded passes, it can be a very, very, very long, long game. And I think that with our midfield against Liverpool's is where we could potentially win that game.
And can I say something as well, which he didn't even start against us, was Kante.
Oh, my word.
I forgot about
You don't forget Kante. About Kante.
He didn't even fucking start.
Hey,
Jesus.
And then when he came on, he was, he spent most of the time, in the attacking box. Did like this lovely one turn that it came to him, and he on the back of his foot. Back.
Can I say it's unfair, right, in this multiverse, with this Arsenal playing in, that when you are not creating, you are able to fucking bring Kante on against us. We're not creating. You don't need to bring that sauce to us. You don't need to give us that slap in the face.
Oh, what's this? 2-0 up. We'll bring on Hakim Ziyech. Yeah, good one. Why don't you just fuck off?
I think the start of the season has been magnificent. And you know something else? I think I said it in the first pod. I said, I'm not going to get I'm not going to get sad and down and anything about stuff. I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, that's happened. Yeah, Brentford happened. Chelsea happened. West Brom, whatever happens with West Brom. But the fact is, I'm going to, like what you see the players do, I'm just going to, instead of putting on Instagram a picture of me in action like this on the pod, I'm just going to say it here. We go again. You know, wasn't great. Wasn't a great result, but we go again.
Listen, you know what? 108 points to play for? Wins you the league, man. Wins you the league. Come on, 108 points.
Exactly.
The league's on.
Nice one, right? On that note. You know what? I'm going to leave on that note. The league is there to be won. Guys, I'm going to have to... You're going to have to go.
All right.
I love you.
Love you too. Love you too.
Yeah, I love you.
Love you too, right?
But like, I'll speak to you soon. My... Thanks for coming on. I'm so pleased you're here, bro.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's going to be, you know something, having you with this season with Chelsea being like whatever they're going to be, it's going to be exciting having you on. And at least I've got Rye. I've got Rye to get me through this.
Things are going well in our multiverse. So
yeah, Jeanette as well. Jeanette, when she's not gallivanting around the world on elite levels.
I know. But guys, take it easy. I love you. Thanks for coming in.
See you.
Take care.
Okay, thank you very much to my main man, Ryan Hunt, and making his debut, a fantastic debut, Mayowa Quadri. Listen, guys, take it easy, whatever you're doing. Be strong with what you're doing. I read something that was beautiful the other day. What was it? It was something. Somebody said, failure is the fog from which we glimpse triumph. And I said, I'm going to say that on the podcast. So be strong with everything you're doing. And never give up like me with Arsenal. See you next week.